This is Gareth Southgate, and this is the Three Lions Podcast.
Hello and welcome to your Three Lions podcast. My name is Russell Osborne and this is an independent England football supporters podcast. I hope I find you well. Season end draws ever close. Obviously some have already finished. A few playoff matches yet to be played. I hope you can look back on your season with a smile, even if it's a small one. There must have been a couple of good moments in there, even if you did finish bottom. Never mind, put that to one side. The Euros are getting ever closer. And with that, I'll be bringing you some more episodes in the run-up to it. Now, I have to admit, I'm not 100% sure how I'm going to cover the actual tournament from a podcast angle. I will be out in Germany for the group games, going in and out. So coming back home, a couple of days at work in between, family, back out again. So I'm not quite sure how the episodes are going to flow. I may just record some audio whilst I'm out there, try and piece it together on my phone whilst sat in an airport or on a coach and upload from there. We'll see. But I thought I'd give you a heads up on that side of things. Hope you have enjoyed the recent episodes that have come your way. There was the one where I took a look at what I thought Gareth's squad might look like as that date looms close. Nothing I've seen has really made me change my mind on things. There's a few players thinking, oh, perhaps he's closer than I initially thought. Although I noticed that Harry Maguire has picked up a muscle injury. Although I don't think it will affect the summer, more the end of United's season and cup final. But it is that time, you know, when we're all sweating when a player goes down. We're keeping our fingers crossed. And you know, it's not just us. The Germans are doing it. Spanish, the Italians, the French, even the Scottish are doing it. There was also the nationality switch episode, which went down quite well. That was one where I took a look at some of the players who had switched their international allegiances. Think Zaha, Declan Rice, John Barnes too. There's quite a few names in there that maybe might surprise you if you hadn't heard it yet. Just head to your podcast provider of choice or threelionspodcast.com. You'll find them there. Before we get on to the main bulk of this episode, I just want to say a big thank you to those of you that have contributed to the running, hosting of the show through the Ko-fi account. Incredibly kind of you. Should you want to, just head to ko-fi.com/3lionspodcast. That's ko-fi.com/3lionspodcast. Everything that you contribute goes towards the monthly hosting. The company that I give the podcast to, they then push it out to all the platforms that you may listen to the podcast on. Also, the threelionspodcast.com domain name as well. So once again, thank you very much. Now, a little while back, you may remember I spoke with Matt Edgar about his England journey. That's still available at your podcast provider of choice. It's a good listen. Well, here I am pleased to say I have another in that series. It's my pleasure to welcome to the Three Lions podcast, Will Stone and England fan Peter John Baptiste. Peter, hello there.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
I'm fine, thanks.
Great.
Thanks for inviting me on. Well, I've been listening to this podcast for a while and it's actually brilliant, so thanks a lot.
Very kind of you to say so, thank you. I know we're going to sort of chat about Euro 2004, which
you've got quite a few stories to tell about it. Looking forward to hearing about that one. It's a tournament that I didn't actually get to, but fond memories of it. But before we hit Portugal, just maybe give us a little introduction as to yourself and how you started following England, where it all came together for you.
Well, okay, despite my youthful looks, my first England home match, believe it or not, was I saw the world champions, Argentina, play England in May 1980. And England won 3-1, my first game. But I've been a fan since I was a toddler. I had two older brothers, which is handy, who were both England fans as well. The whole family was, all the boys were football fans, including my dad. Bit of background, my dad's from the Caribbean, actually, he's from Dominica. Okay. But all the kids were born in, both my parents are from Dominica, but all the kids were born in England, in London. And my dad actually, he's much more a cricket fan, but he likes football as well. He's an Arsenal fan and England. And so Sunday afternoons, we're always watching the big match. As I got older, I was allowed to start to watch Match of the Day. And my two older brothers, as I say, were big England fans. And they actually had this scrapbook. And they, from the very late 60s towards the sort of mid 70s, they put loads of newspaper cuttings into this scrapbook.
Okay.
And if there's one thing from my childhood I wish that hadn't got chucked, was that.
Oh.
So I used to look through that as a very young boy. And I remember seeing the England, looking at the England against West Germany European Championship 1972 when England got destroyed by Günter Netzer. I must have been about 6 or 7. I remember reading this news article about Günter Netzer and about West Germany. And when you're a kid, you just throw things out. So when they got older, they chucked it and I didn't object to it. And I just wish I'd had that because it had every sort of newspaper cutting from every England match going back from about 68, 69 to 1977, 78. So I wish we kept it, but we didn't.
Yeah.
But we just grew up as England fans. It wasn't we lived in Harrow as well, so it's only a few stops down the line.
Cool.
My older brother's about 8-9 years older than me, so he took me to my first game, and I'll be forever grateful. He was in his late teens by then, so we got permission to take me along to this massive crowd, and I went to that. So I went intermittently throughout the 80s when pocket money and my paper round allowed.
Yeah.
And then by the late 80s, 90s, I was a regular. And in fact, my record was May 1990 to March or April 2020, 22, 32 years. I didn't miss a home game. Well, I had to go on a work conference to Harrogate the day that we played. We played a couple of years ago. I blocked it out of my head because I couldn't go. It was either, Ivory Coast. We beat Ivory Coast at Wembley.
Yes.
It was the first game I'd missed. First game I'd missed since Uruguay in May 1990.
Wow.
So, 7 World Cups I've been to. This coming summer will be my 7th Euros.
Nice.
So 14 tournaments, 3 under 21 tournaments you can add to that, and one women's tournament as well. So I went to the final 2 years ago.
They all count.
Yeah.
I mean, just going back to that very first game, the Argentina one. I mean, it was, I mean, I was only, when did you say it was 1980?
80, yeah.
80, yeah. Was that the one? I've seen a picture of Maradona in an England shirt.
Yeah,
was that the game he played?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'd love to say, yeah, I really remember him. I don't really. I was more interested in Kevin Keegan than the rest of the England play.
Yeah.
So he did play, but I vaguely remember him. I did see him 7 years later at the rest of the world, Football League against the rest of the world centenary match. But by
that
then
was
he was a
superstar. Wembley, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. He was a superstar by then, but that was just an exhibition game.
Yeah. No, I've seen.
No, sadly, I never saw him play in a competitive fixture as such.
Okay. So,
Maradona.
86 then wasn't.
No, I was just doing my O-levels then.
Oh,
that
right.
O-levels, yeah. Yeah, I'll do my O-levels that summer.
Gotcha.
So I remember staying up late to watch, because some of the games kicked off quite late, and I had exams the next morning and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
So, well.
So we're talking about the Euros. Obviously, it's coming up this year. What's the first Euros that you went to?
Well, I did go to Italia 90 for a World Cup, but
yeah.
2 years later, I was a bit short of money, so I didn't go to Sweden, which I've regretted ever since. But Euro 96 was my first Euros. Obviously, it was a home Euros.
Mm.
So, yeah, I went to all the games at Wembley. Yeah. Every single game, including the final.
Oh, okay. So the Germany.
I bought the packages. I still remember the application form we got from the FA back then. It wasn't online. It was a paper application.
Yeah.
And we got it in July, August 1994. And I booked up me and a friend who used to go all the time. He doesn't go anymore. He was at university at the time. He went later on. He went a couple of years later than he should have, really. So he couldn't afford it. So being the good friend I was, you could book via, for that tournament, you could book via direct debit, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Over 6 months.
Okay.
So August, we started paying in August and we finished in February 1995. So I paid for him and then he paid me back when he got a job after he graduated. So, we both went to a tournament together.
Yeah, everyone meets a friend like that.
Yeah, that was my, well, he's a good friend. Yeah. So that was my first Euros. And gotcha. So I've still got it. I just wish Gascoigne could have grown an extra inch and just toe-poked that one in. Anderson hadn't hit the post.
That's the one, yeah. Anderson hit the post, yeah. Could have been the finals there, couldn't it? And against the Czech Republic, that was a distinct possibility to win that on home soil.
They had a good run, but I think we'd have been too much for them in the final, especially at home and the emotion and everything. I think we'd have won that one.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, let's fast forward. What would that be? That would be another 8 years to Portugal. Yeah. So I'm trying to stretch my mind back to remember how we got there, and I haven't got it to hand.
No. Turkey. Remember the Turkey game? We drew 0-0 in Istanbul.
Ah, yes. I've done an episode on...
Smashed over the crossbar.
That's right, of course, yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. That was the one where they threatened the most. Yeah.
That's right, where they nearly went on strike. So, yeah, go on then. Take us to Portugal and the memories there for you and what happened.
Well, I don't wish to keep going back to Italian 90, but a Wheelstone fan friend of mine, old name-checking, even though he's Scottish, Dave Parrish, he'd been to 9 games in Italian 90. And when he came back with all his tales, I was really jealous. So I went to Italian 90, but I just saw some of the England games.
Yeah.
I did go to 2 extra games, Brazil, Costa Rica and West Germany, United Arab Emirates. But he'd been to 9 games in about just under 2 weeks. And I was really jealous. I thought, one day I want to do a one-man tournament where I just try to get to a game every day.
Right.
And Portugal rolled around. By then, I was a bit older and I had a bit more money. Portugal's not a massive country compared to some of the ones that tournaments take place in. Plus the fact that tickets were fairly easy to come by. You know, it wasn't that difficult to get tickets. Not like now with the world and his wife. England brought a lot, but not many other teams did bring many. So I put my mind to it. And by then, the internet was more well up and running. Euro 96, the internet was in its infancy, so... It was a phone line, if I'm not mistaken, if you wanted extra tickets, and it was always engaged. But Euro 2004, you could get tickets online. So I managed to get a few before the tournament, and some I didn't, but I was hoping I might get some over there. And so off we went. I went on my own, but I met friends there, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And so off we went to Portugal. I remember the night before, the Friday, the day before the tournament started, landed in Portugal in the afternoon in Lisbon.
Yeah.
And then that early evening, there was a British council had organised something for England fans, like a reception, because we're going to be playing a lot of games in Lisbon. And anyone could go. It wasn't like, you know, no invite. So there was quite a few England fans there and a few local dignitaries. Free alcohol. And so that was a good start to the tournament. And that finished about 8, 9 o'clock, and then we all went into the city centre for a few beers. But I had an early start the next day because I was off to Porto for the opening match, which was Portugal against Greece. I didn't have a ticket, but I was going to go up there and maybe hopefully get one if I could, but I wasn't going to pay silly money. If not, I'd just enjoy the atmosphere and then come back. So I'd already bought my 3-week rail pass, which was only about £120, believe it or not.
Wow.
So you could travel around the whole of Portugal for £120 for 3 weeks. And then in the morning, I just went to the train station and I booked my, because you still had to book, reserve a seat on the intercity train. So up I went to Porto. I went on my own. My friends didn't come to this one. And when I was outside the ground, I just bumped into these 3 or 4 English lads, and we were sat on this grassy bank next to the stadium having a couple of beers. then this American voice comes over and he's like, you know, hey guys, I'm not going to do the accent, but he's from Miami. I'm not going to do the accent. Just imagine it. Hey guys, you got tickets for the game? He said, no, we haven't got tickets. He goes, here, I've got tickets. He pulled out this wad of tickets from his pocket. Honestly, he must have had about 50, 60 tickets. He was a tell.
Yeah.
Face value. It's like, I don't know how much it was in those days. €15, I think, was the group stage, but for the cheapest ticket. But that was €20 because it was the opening ceremony as well. So €5 more. So I was skipping and dancing. I've got a ticket for €20. So we got in. We're in the grease end. That's fine. Loads of hundreds of empty seats. No idea. They didn't bring that many fans, Greece, at that point. Obviously, towards the end. And so I saw the opening match and Greece won, which is great.
We're in
the
right end.
2-0, I think it was. So got the train back to Lisbon, and it was the night of the, and I don't know if anyone knows Lisbon very well, but the Feast of St. Anthony.
Right.
It was the celebrations in Lisbon. That's their patron saint, I think. And so it's this massive street party in Lisbon. So all the England fans took part in that. It was great. Fantastic. Next morning, got up and England are playing in Lisbon. We're playing France. Not going to go into that. 2-1, 1-0 up, 2-1 down.
Yeah.
Holes in the last couple of minutes. Following day, got the train up to Guimaraes via Porto for Denmark, Italy.
Of course, Guimaraes was where we had our Nations League games, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I'll come up with a little fact at the end of this because it's like a little work about that stadium and me. So back to Lisbon, because what there was an overnight train that used to leave at 12:45 from Porto. And it go back to Lisbon. It didn't get back until 5 or so. It was 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I got that back and then came back up to Porto. My hotel was in Lisbon. My luggage never moved from Lisbon. I did, but my luggage didn't.
Right.
Back up to Porto the next day, Germany, Holland. Then the following day, back down to Lisbon, Portugal, Russia. Well, I saw the only trouble I saw was the whole tournament, actually. Some Russian fans were... They lost 2-0, and towards the end, they started fighting the stewards. Okay. And then someone got on the pitch, believe it or not. A Russian fan got on the pitch and confronted one of his own players. I'm not sure it got on telly, because when I was telling people about this back home, I think nobody knew about it. So I think the camera never went to it.
Yeah.
He started windmilling at one of his own players, and he got dragged away. Anyway, enough of that. We don't like talking about that sort of behavior. So the following day, back up the train line. But this was just to Coimbra, which wasn't too far away for England, Switzerland. Then what was the next game after that? That would have been Braga for... I'm not reading this. This is all from memory. Perfect. Braga. That's the stadium that's cut into a big hill. On the
side. I was going to say, yeah, that's one with no or stands behind each goal, is it?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So Denmark-Bulgaria, that was. I was storming because I had to think it was. And then the next day, back up to the prettiest city I thought in the whole... The stay of the cities I went to were Vero. Not my favourite city, but maybe the prettiest down by the docks. It's really lovely.
Okay.
And that was the game of the tournament. Holland went 2-0 up and lost 3-2 to the Czech Republic and Milan Baroš, because that was his tournament.
Right.
His top goal scorer.
Mm.
Now, this is the first, my organisation up to this point have been fantastic. What I've forgotten is that's a Saturday night. So now I go to the train station in Porto to get my overnight train back. Doesn't go on Sundays. It's now Sunday morning.
Right.
4-1 on Sunday, no train. So I'm looking at the board and thinking, why is there no train? It's not showing up. And I clock, oh no, I've not got a hotel, not got anything. So I've got to stay up. I'm napping.
All nighter.
For eight days I've been doing this now. I'm absolutely shattered. I've got to stay up all night. And I found a bar, which isn't hard to do in Porto. I found a bar, great city, by the way. But I was absolutely knackered, so... By 4 a.m. I was hanging. I thought I'd better get back to the train station because I'd fall asleep and miss my train back. So I got back to the train station, slept all the way back to Lisbon.
Yeah.
Shower, change of clothes, not going back to bed because it's now Portugal versus Spain. And I'd managed to get a ticket for this.
Yeah.
Online previously. So it's only about €40 to see like the Iberian Derby in a major tournament.
The host nation.
Yeah. And Portugal won, and it flashes up on the scoreboard at the end of the game with the group, because Greece have either drawn or won, which means that Spain are now out, and this massive cheer goes up in the stadium from all the Portuguese fans.
Yeah.
So they knocked out their local rivals.
Yeah.
So that was a good day. And then the following day, that's at the stadium in Lisbon, but not the stadium alike. This is the Sporting Portugal stadium, the Sporting Lisbon stadium.
Yeah, the green one was.
Yeah, the one that the Benfica fans call the bathroom. They call it because it looks a bit like a bathroom. If anyone's not seen it mine and have a look at it, it does look a bit like a bathroom.
I understand.
So I'm in Lisbon for England's fantastic performance. We beat Croatia 4-2. It's a great Wayne Rooney's
game, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. We were all singing the song, The White Palais. That was a great night. So I go back to bed, get up the next morning, I'm back up again to Porto and then the local train to Guimarães. And when I arrive, a friend of mine, he hired a car for this one. He drove up, Derby John Darrington.
Right.
He doesn't go to England anymore, but he arrives with some terrible news because an England fan had been stabbed to death the night before in Lisbon by a pickpocket. I'll never forget his name. His name is Stephen Smith, a Wolverhampton Wanderers fan. He's about 27 or 28. Never forgotten that. So that put a right dampener on the tournament, really. It's really terrible.
Wasn't aware of that, I have to be honest.
Oh, yeah. It's awful. So, and that was just off Rossio Square where I'd been. You know, me and my friends had been, but we'd left. And then later on that night, he got murdered. A pickpocket did it. But anyway, so then Italy against Bulgaria. So Italy came from behind to beat Bulgaria, but Denmark and Sweden had contrived a draw in the other game. And in those days, we didn't have internet or our phone, but people were getting text messages and then.
Okay.
Everyone was laughing. All in. Lots of English at the game. We were all laughing because Italy were getting knocked out because this goal had gone in right near the end, and there was a lot of talk of collusion. The Italians said, "Oh, Denmark and Sweden have arranged this to knock us out," which they may well have done. I don't know, but it's funny anyway.
Yeah.
So Italy got knocked out that night. Then my mate Derby Johnny drove me. Luckily, I didn't have to get the overnight train. He drove me back from Porto to Lisbon that night. Dropped me in Rossio Square because I wasn't far from there. And an impromptu sort of memorial had sprung up in the corner of Rossio Square to this young England fan that got murdered. Loads of people had put scarves down, but not just England fans, all Portugal fans, Germany fans, all manner of different fans, which is nice to see. And then the following day, I go to bed, following day, get up, and it's my birthday. And it's it's Germany against the Czech Republic in Lisbon. And that was a good birthday because Germany got knocked out and Milan Baros.
Wait, see, Carlsberg don't do birthdays, but if they did,
So that was a good. So we're now at the end of the group stage, and I'm absolutely shattered. But luckily, I don't have to travel because we're in Lisbon for England versus Portugal. But unluckily, we get knocked out again on penalties. There you go. The story of our tournaments. But I'm not going home yet. What I did the next day, I went to the airport and I changed my flight. My flight was for the day after the final. I changed it to the Tuesday after this weekend. So I'm coming home early. I'm coming home a week early, 6 days early, basically. And then that night, it's France against Greece in Lisbon, where I see the great Zinedine Zidane for possibly the last time I ever saw him play. But they get knocked out by Greece, which I celebrated. And then the following day, I've got my first free day since I arrived in Portugal.
How did you spend that? Sightseeing or sleeping?
No, I was up early and I went out walking and I went to the aquarium and I went to the fan park and I watched Holland play Sweden, which is down in Faro. That's why I didn't go to it.
Okay,
I've been there before because England played a friendly in Faro in February and I'd done that stadium and I wasn't going to go all the way down there and then all the way back to Lisbon. It's a long way. So I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. So I just watched that in the fan park in Lisbon. And then the following morning, up again. Now, the first game I went to in Lisbon, the first match I went to for the opening game, I had beer, I had crisps, I was taking photos out of the train window. I'm going back up to Porto for my last game now. It's Sunday, so it's 2 days before I'm coming home, I'm flying home. My head hits the headrest of the train. I'm out like a light. Next thing I know is I'm getting poked. I open my eyes and it's the inspector, the ticket inspector.
Yeah.
I'd fallen asleep before he'd even managed to check my ticket. I was that knackered. So I show him my ticket and then I'm back out like a light for the next two and a half hours. And I wake up when we arrive in Porto for my last game, which was Denmark against the Czech Republic. And again, Milan Baros, his tournament, Czech Republic go through. And that's it. I get the overnight train for the last time, thankfully. And I have my final full day, which is the Monday in Lisbon. And I just spend my time just having a little walk around Lisbon. My mates had flown back the day before on the Sunday. They didn't come up to Porto with me. I went on my own. And so I've got one final day on my own. And I just spent that just walking around. And we befriended this little bar owner. It's one of those sort of bars that's like an ice cream stand. If you see what I mean, it's just an impromptu sort of little. And it was halfway up towards the Barry Alto, which is the high ground. There's this tram that goes up this really steep hill in
Lisbon. Right.
Yeah, and there's this little flat bit halfway up. And he just set up this stall, and he was selling beer throughout the tournament. We got to know him because we always, before I went back to my hotel room when I was in Lisbon, I'd always have a quick beer just before I went to bed. I got chatting to him. He's a university student.
Right.
Actually, I wish I'd kept in touch with him because he's a really nice bloke and I'd like to have seen how he'd got on in his life. But you meet loads of people traveling.
Yeah, yeah.
England. You can't keep in touch with everyone. But so I said goodbye to him. And then with a heavy heart, went to bed. And then the next morning or the next early afternoon, flew home from my adventure. So 15 games, 16 days, 6 cities, I think 7 different stadiums. And a few hundreds of miles travelled and a lot of beer drunk,
yeah.
A lot of friends made, and a lot of football seen and not much sleep got. I had to go to work the next day and I'm absolutely knackered. I went back to work for a rest.
I'm dead.
Knackered.
I can well believe it.
People saying, you've been on holiday. I said, that was not a holiday.
Sounds like a good laugh, a good experience, one of those sort of life experiences, and
great one.
Yeah, and like you say about seeing 15 games in 16 days and seeing like lots of the tournament, you could almost say, fast forward to 2022, the World Cup in Qatar, and there's various people seeing this tournament and how it is all laid out and saying, do you know what? I'm going to do that game. Right, yeah. And if I can squeeze that one into that same day, I'm going to do it again. Or I'm going to do that in the same day. Whereas, 20 years, that you'd been doing like pretty much the same. You're a trendsetter.
Yeah. I was going to say about Gomari, actually. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I should do because...
You're there enough.
That stadium has only hosted 4 international football matches in its history. I've been at all 4 of them.
Has 2
in the
year
and the 2 in the Nations League. Me and Gomares, whatever that stadium's called, the Strange Bedfellows.
I'm quite
proud of that.
That's quite a fact to know. I mean, there's those 2 games.
If Portugal ever play there, I'll have to make sure I get over there to see it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. What was it? We played, was it the Netherlands and who was the other one?
Switzerland.
It was the penalty shootout one, wasn't it? That was a hot day there, that penalty shootout against Switzerland, I seem to remember. That was hard work, that game.
Yeah, it was hot, yeah.
Yeah.
So I did manage to get back to the 2 games in Porto as well. So just for old time's sake, I went to that stadium as well again, the Dragão.
Yeah.
One more thing. I thought I did well to do 15 games, but when 3 months later, we played Austria in Vienna. I'm in this bar and I sat at this bar with my mates. And this bloke taps me and I turn around and he's an Austrian fan. He says, excuse me, did you stay in the Pensão Londres in Lisbon? And I said, yeah, I did. Yeah. And he said, I saw you when you arrived. I didn't recognize him.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll stand out a little bit more because I'm black. I don't know. But anyway, we got chatting and he said, he beat me because he said, I went to 20 games in Euro 2000. What he did, he hired a car. Well, I was lazy. I trained for it. So he managed to go to 2 games in a day a couple of times. He went to Guimarães and Porto a couple of times. We saw, and he stayed a bit longer. So fair play to him. I had a photo with him, and we did keep in touch. In fact, talking to Euros, in 2008, we didn't qualify. Wally was the probably, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I did go to Austria game with him.
Okay.
We kept in touch, went to an Austria game, Austria-Croatia. Austria-Croatia, we went to together. Nice. So as I say, you do meet people on these in these trips and you become friends with them.
Great story. I was impressive that he'd done a few more games, 20 games. Yeah. Fair play to him. Got it. In the time that we've got left, let's look towards the summer. What's your feelings going towards it? And can we? Will we?
Okay. Yes. And we can. And I think there's three or four teams that can win this. Mm-hmm. We're one of them. France, Portugal, and a resurgent Germany.
Yeah,
that's Spain at home. And I honestly think with the players we have, notwithstanding our defensive issues, which do worry me, but I mean that's only if we can find someone who could play alongside Stones, because Kyle Walker is brilliant.
Yeah,
and unlike a lot of people, I actually quite like Pickford himself. Pickford is not really letting him down that much.
No, but true.
Really, he's not really for. He's made the odd ricket for Everton, but for England, he's been fairly reliable.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we can sort our defence, I know it's only 3 months or 2 months to go, so say we need to sort our defence. It's not long to do it in. But let's look at our players. With Kane up front, we've got Bellingham, we've got Foden, you've got Saka. You know, Declan Rice had a brilliant season. You know, that's, maybe we need to decide who's going to play in midfield. That's the one other space, you know, that's central defence and central midfield, maybe alongside Rice. But apart from that, I think we could win it. We just need to believe it. And our manager, as much as I'm not going to sit here and criticise him, we do need him to be a little bolder, I think, and believe it as well. And if we can just get... I remember the late, great Johan Cruyff, he always used to say something that if you can win anything if you play without fear. And I just feel that we got the players... If we play without fear, we can win this tournament. But sometimes there always seems to be something just holding us back at the back of our mind. We need to sort of sit back now. We score a goal, sit back. We don't need to do that.
No.
And I think with the mentality of Kane now, I know he did it in the league in Munich, but Kane playing at Bayern, you got Bellingham at Madrid. You got players who are, you know, who are doing really well, like Rice, and you got Foden, who wins every season. He's winning trophies. They've got to believe they're good enough to do this.
Confidence.
Come on. Yeah. For God's sakes, we've got to win something in our lifetime. I'm sick of hearing about 56.
Yeah.
As much as it was a great time, but I'm sure it was, but we've got to move on from 66. This is the side to do it. It's possibly the bit, I've been watching England a long time, probably the best side we've had. And Gascoigne is my hero, but this is possibly the best side we've had.
Let's hope so. Just sort of looking back onto that Portugal tournament and this one, are you taking in any other games in Germany? You already thought, right, I'm going to this one, I'm going to squeeze a few more in.
No, I'm just going for England games this time. So, in fact, group stage, I'm going there and back, and then I'll be going, touch wood, I'll be going back out for the quarter final and coming back for the final. I don't want to jinx it, but about 8-9 months ago, I actually did book a flight for the day after the final from Berlin back to London.
Yeah.
I got it for only about 40 quid. I thought it's worth a gamble.
You're not.
It could be chaotic trying to get home if we did get to the final. So I thought,
it's
a gamble worth taking because we've got a good side and you never know.
Yeah, you're not the only one. I know a few other people have done that. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish that I had as well. I kind of wish that I'd thought to myself, sort that out. But no, I'll be in and out for the group games, and the first knockout round is sort of penciled in as to how to get there as well.
Yeah, I'll be going in and out for that.
Again,
I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it. I think we will win the group. And if we did win the group, we would have to play another group winner to the semi. It couldn't have landed any better.
Okay, is that how it works out? It's a bit sort of hit and miss with this third place team as well, isn't it? It's a bit not confusing. Well, it's confusing. It's just makes it sort of a bit more convoluted. But funny enough,
this is exactly the same format now that was Italian 90. Exactly the same.
Really?
Six groups, so the top two from each go through, and then four third best teams, because that was 24 teams, Italian 90.
Right, yeah. Oh, let's hope for a I remember Italia 90 as well. But let's hope we can go that one step further.
Yes, hopefully.
Peter, thank you very much for your time. Really enjoyed listening to that.
Yeah, thanks a lot
for your travels. And
nice to count it. And I hope people.
Yeah, no, be good to say hello out in Germany if should the opportunity arise.
Definitely, I'll buy you a beer for this. Thanks a lot.
I'll buy you one back.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much to Peter there. Some great stories. I remember as a kid having scrapbook of newspaper cuttings. There were league tables I had in there, headlines and old black and white pictures. I wonder what the kids do now. Newspapers aren't really a thing. And you can't really print off internet pages. Well, you can, but I can't imagine people do. Euro 2004 was one of those tournaments that I remember. It was one where I'd just moved into my first flat. I remember watching some games at home there with friends around. I remember watching some down the pub. It's one of those tournaments where I can pinpoint and picture where I was in life. You may remember I did do a series looking back at previous Euros and World Cups where I spoke with people who were there. And I did do one back in 2020 with Manchester United and England fan Mike Curtis. It was all about his experiences in Portugal. It's episode 94, if you want to relive it. Seems quite a while ago now, that. But go check it out. It is good. I enjoyed doing those whole series. And I'll be looking back over Euro 2024 later in the year in a similar fashion. I will be back with you very soon talking to a couple of authors who have written some great books on England. They are perfect for your summer holidays wherever you may be going. So yeah, make sure you join me for that. Don't forget you can follow the show on social media. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube too. Just search Three Lions Podcast. Give it a like or a follow. So until the next time, take care of yourselves. Cheers.